Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 19th chapter, verses 23 to 31. Gapa yusham stana jayat punarbhavat shana yusham bharatabhu jayapunam shane namatyena kritam manasina sanyasi sanyam kyakayam param hare. A short life in the land of Bhardvarsh is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years, because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bhardvarsh, a lower planetary system, is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection, even in this short life, by fully surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus, one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. So what do you remember from Bhrijan Prabhu's class? Madhavan Puri? 16 through 22. Narada Muni. He praised some mountains. In Bharatvarsh and Ilavitvarsh. And rivers, great rivers. Brahmaputra and Shona. He's going to glorify
the tract
of land of Bharatvarsh. Right.
And abominable.
Even if someone is abominable, if he takes birth in Bharatvarsh,
even if they are Manushik or Devik,
Manushik or Devik. So by the mercy of Guru, they can come to the transcendental stage and go beyond their nature.
And then there's a shift starting in 21.
21, there's a shift.
Where the rivers start speaking.
The rivers?
The devas.
Or the devas. The devas start speaking.
From 21 onwards.
From 21.
And they're going to glorify again. In their turn, they're going to glorify Bharatvarsh.
They're going to glorify, and they are glorifying Bharatvarsh.
So that's Krishna.
Right, we can very easily connect with Krishna.
Then by sanctification.
Right. So here in this verse, we see that even a short life in Bhardvarsh is preferable to Brahmaloka. So if we remember in the second canto, there's three kinds of people who are elevated to Brahmaloka. Does anybody remember at least two kinds of people that come to Brahmaloka from the lower planets? Yeah, I remember one type is the pious, those who have performed... Yes, you remember?
Pure sannyasis.
And pious living entities who have done some. Just like it says, if you for 100 births, if you do your duty properly in Varnashram, you can become Lord Brahma. So there's the pious people, there's the pure sannyasis, and what's the other group that goes to Brahmaloka? One more group of people. Pure devotees. The devotees of the Lord. The devotees also can be promoted to Brahmaloka and by performing devotional service. So actually today we're going to finish the 19th chapter, we're going to finish the section on all the prayers of the residents of Jambudvip. And then from this afternoon we're going to start the structure of the universe. I think I told you the wrong day, it's tomorrow that we're going to do the structure. And so tomorrow it's a very important class that we're going to cover two chapters, and we'll have this whole structure of the universe up here, and we'll have more discussion on that tomorrow. But today, for today, we're going to finish these prayers, glorification of Bharatvarsha, so that tomorrow when we see the whole universe in front of us, we won't be attached or attracted. We'll just be very satisfied with our devotional life in Bhardvarsh. We won't want to go to any of these other planets, higher or lower, because we'll find out, or we've already found out, that all the planets are heavenly except the one we're on. This is the only place where you suffer so much. Of course, in the hellish planets, it's there too. But only in Bhardvarsh do you have this combination of happiness and distress into a great degree. Of course, death is there on all the planets, higher and lower, but they don't suffer that much in their lifetime. So here in purport, there is a verse which Prabhupada must have quoted so many times in these different purports here. and it's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to everyone who has taken his birth in Bharatvarsh. And that includes all of us, because this whole planet, this whole world is Bharatvarsha. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Bhartabhumite hoilo manushijan majara jamashata korikora para upakar. One who has taken his birth in the land of Bharatvarsh has a full opportunity to study the direct instructions given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, thus finally decide what to do in his human form of life. One should certainly give up all other propositions and surrender to Krishna. Krishna will then immediately take charge and relieve one of the results of past sinful life. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo moksha ishami ma shuchaha. Therefore, one should take to Krishna consciousness, as Krishna himself recommends. Man mana bhava mad bhakto majaji mam namaskaru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer me obeisances. This is very easy, even for a child. Why not take this path? The Prabhupada's preaching to us here in this verse. Why not do it? Surrender to Krishna. What objection? Do we have any objections to thinking of Krishna, chanting his name, worshipping Krishna? Even a child can do it. So what does our mind say when Krishna confronts us with surrender to him? Later. Later. Tomorrow. When I get older, what other objections can be raised to this statement of Krishna? Yes. What will you do to me if I surrender to you? What will you do? Krishna says, I'll take care of you. But do we believe it? Well, do we believe that if all our money is gone, then Krishna is going to take care of us? Do we believe it when we get a heavy disease, that Krishna is taking care of us? So, what are some other objections our mind may raise? Why, yes?
Just let me get myself organized first.
Yes, let me just get my life together, I'll get myself organized. Don't worry, I'll make a lot of money, and then I'll, you know, just like Prabhupada had that idea. First, let me become rich, and then I will use that money to support the preaching. So we have our plans. Let me do my plan first, and I'll be glad to surrender. Or else, I can surrender a little bit, and then also I'll do my plan a little bit too. So these are the objections that not only the outside, the non-devotees have, we also have objections to surrendering. What else does the mind say when you're actually confronted with this idea?
Am I not already surrendered enough?
I must have already surrendered, yes. What do you mean, surrendered? I surrendered so many years, I've done so many austerities for this movement. Now I should get a little vacation, I should retire, I'm old, I should get it. Let me take a break, let me have a rest. So these are the objections that our mind tells us every single day, why we don't have to surrender today so much. We can enjoy a little bit, surrender a little bit, and after a while, we'll become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says, one should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly, and thus become fully eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. Chaktadeham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjana. So we're thinking death. I may live for another 10, 15, 30, 40 years. Why should I worry about it now? But Prabhupada says, if we follow Krishna's instructions exactly, then we can be eligible to go back to Godhead. So that means now. It means right now. We don't wait. Right now we have to do it. Once you go directly to Krishna and engage in his service, this is the best opportunity offered to the inhabitants of Bharatvarsh. One who is fit to return home back to Godhead is no longer liable to the results of karma, good or bad. So how to surrender? Okay, we're going to surrender now. We're all ready to surrender. And actually, according to Bhagavatam, unless you have accepted the conclusion of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, the end of Bhagavad Gita, you should surrender. You're not fit to study Bhagavatam. You shouldn't study Bhagavatam unless you're already decided to surrender to Krishna. So, okay, now we've decided we're going to surrender to Krishna. We're in Bharatvarsha, we're in the best place. How to do this? What are the things that would help us surrender to Krishna? make it easier or make it quicker. Yes. Ma ba 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 ba. Think of Krishna. Yes. See Krishna as your protector. Okay, so these are the levels of surrender. Sharanagati, see Krishna as your protector. What else will help us? Go quickly. Yes.
Seeking out Guru,
serving him, and asking his instructions. Okay? What we should do. How can I surrender? Yes.
Don't cultivate different aspirations from Krishna.
Don't cultivate other aspirations different. So that's also one of the levels of surrender. Don't have different aspirations than surrender to Krishna or pleasing Krishna. Pleasing Krishna. Okay, how about Sri Rupa Goswami? Does he help us to think of ways to surrender more quickly or easily? Or how does he facilitate? What instructions does Sri Rupa Goswami give us in this? Atyahara prayasasya. Yes. So don't overeat and don't overcollect. Avoid undesirable association. And what are some other instructions? By Sri Rupa Goswami.
Loving exchange,
the dati, patigrinati, guhyam akyati prichati. And more, one more. Shashisha. Oh, yeah, that's. What's Manasa Krodha Vegam? Acha. Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. Okay, there's one more verse. Utsaha Nishchaya Dharya. Enthusiasm, confidence, patience. So all these things will help us. Oh, there's one more thing that will help us. When things get really difficult and we want to make them easy, what shall we do?
Lord Chaitanya?
Yes, yes. If you think of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then difficult things become easy. And if you forget Lord Chaitanya, then easy things become difficult to perform. That's good, because you're a Sankirtan devotee, so you always remember Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, verse 24. Nayatya vaikuntha kadasita bhaga nasadava bhagavatastarashaya Ayatya yagyasya makamahotsava suresha loko bhiravaisa sevyatam. An intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even in the topmost planetary system, if the pure Ganga of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities does not flow there, if there are not devotees engaged in service on the banks of such a river of piety, or if there are no festivals of Sankirtan Yajna to satisfy the Lord especially, since Sankirtan Yajna is recommended in this age. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the mission of our movement, Krishna Conscious Movement, and he gives two recommendations that we should give men the opportunity of having two things. Does anybody know what these two things are from the purport? Or even if you haven't read the purport, you can think of something. What's that? Always chanting, yes. He says a constant festival of Sankirtan Yajna. That's the first thing, yes. Distribute prasadam, these two. To millions of hungry people hankering for spiritual emancipation. So the hungry people, they're not hungry for food. They're hungry for spiritual emancipation. So these are the two things in the purport. And then also Srila Prabhupada mentions Lord Chaitanya appeared in the land of Bhardvarsh, specifically in Bengal, in the district of Nadia, where Nabadweep is situated. It is therefore to be concluded, stated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, within this universe, this earth is the best planet. On this planet, the land of Bhardvarsh is the best. In the land of Bhardvarsh, Bengal is still better. In Bengal, the district of Nadia is still better. And in Nadia, the best place is Nabadweep, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there to inaugurate the performance of sacrifice of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Shastras recommend Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangasta Parshadam Vigyasankirtanapraya Yajanti Sumedashaha. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by his very confidential associates, such as Sri Nityananda, Gadadhar, Advaita, and many devotees like Shivas. They're always engaged in chanting the name of the Lord, always describing Lord Krishna. Therefore, this is the best among all places in the universe. Krishna Conscious Movement has established a center in Mayapur, birth site of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give men the great opportunity to go there and perform a constant festival of Sankirtan Yajna, as recommended here in Yagesha Maka Mahotsava, and distribute prasad to millions of hungry people hankering for spiritual emancipation. This is the mission of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So what, and now in Mayapur, I think that is the plan to increase more Sankirtan. Prashanta, you were telling me that during the GBC meetings now they have, I mean after the GBC meetings, while the meetings are going on in the evening, now they have 3 hours Kirtan in Mayapur.
Yeah, it's
now it's part of the meetings to have Kirtan every evening for 3 hours.
They have only
meeting till 2.
And
so they have this very wonderful Kirtan.
And then
there are thousands of devotees dancing for hours in Mayapur. Most of the time Kirtan is sitting. Very meditative. So everyone should go to Mayapur and get a taste of this Kirtan. You have been there also. Yes. So this is for the millions of hungry people. One should not desire to be elevated even to a place in the heavenly planetary systems if it has no propaganda to expand the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no trace of Vaishnavas, pure devotees of the Lord, and no festivals for spreading Krishna consciousness. So it's interesting that we have all the description of the heavenly places, and now at the end we're having description of Bharat Varsh. So all of us will realize that this is the best place to be. Best place in the universe. If you go up and down to any of the planets, even Brahmaloka, here it says is better than Brahmaloka. Some of us may want to go to Brahmaloka and see. But actually, it's better right where we are, right here, right now. So we have to really appreciate. And now Prabhupada makes some very interesting statements here. He's quoting from Chaitanya Bhagavat. It would be better to live perpetually cramped within the airtight bag of a mother's womb, where one can at least remember the lotus feet of the Lord, than to live in a place where there is no opportunity to remember his lotus feet. I pray not to be allowed to take birth in such a condemned place. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kavira says, since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inaugurator of Sankirtan movement, anyone who performs Sankirtan to please the Lord is very, very glorious. Such a person has perfect intelligence, whereas others in the ignorance of material existence. Of all sacrifices mentioned in Vedic literature, performance of Sankirtan Yajna is the best. Even the performance of 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices cannot compare to the sacrifice of Sankirtan. According to the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, if one compares Sankirtan Yajna to other yajnas, he is a Pashandi, infidel, liable to be punished by Yamaraj. So isn't this one of the offenses also to the holy name? To think that chanting Hare Krishna is a mundane pious activity. There are many Mayavadis who think the performance of Sankirtan Yajna is a pious activity similar to the performance of Ashwamedha Yajna and other such pious functions. But this is a nam aparad. Chanting of the holy name of Narayan and chanting of other names are never equal, despite what Mayavadis think. So did anybody meet such a person? Did anybody have a conversation with such a person that thinks like this? Yes, you did? Damana Krishna. In your country?
India.
In India. Right. So this is what they think. This is just some, okay, you chant, I do this. I worship my Ganesh, you chant Hare Krishna. Same, they're all one. So what do you say to somebody like that? Any, you meet people like that on your...
I've met one particular, I struggled to preach to him.
You struggled?
Yeah. In the end, I just,
Just give up. You don't preach to the faithless.
Respect to the message.
Right. You just... Or Prashad. Prashad. In India, Virjan tells a story that the people are so pious that Even he met somebody who's an atheist, and he doesn't believe in any Krishna or any God. But as soon as he offered him some Maha Prasad, he was very eager to take it. He said, "Oh, Maha, yes, I must take. This is Maha Prasad." You know, very eager, very enthusiastic. So even if you're born in Bharat Varsh, it's in your blood. It's in your blood. There's this great opportunity. You can be a devotee. You are a devotee. But it's just covered. So the verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Ashwamedha Yajnas is Adi Lila, chapter 3, verse 79. One who says that 10 million Ashwamedha sacrifices are equal to chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna is undoubtedly an atheist. He is sure to be punished by Yamaraj. So this is... We are very fortunate, especially in Kali Yuga. What are some more verses that describe the good fortune of the people born in this age to have this opportunity? Besides Bharata Bhumite Hoyla Manusha Jamuna. Besides Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam. What are some other verses? Bhagavatam. Harinama, 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 Iva Kevalam. Kalo Nashteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Another one. Oh. I don't know it. Achcha nama binu kali kali nahi aratarma. Sarvashastra. Sarnam. The essence of all shastras. Eshastra marma. Essence of all the shastras is chanting Hare Krishna. And without chanting, there is no religion in this age of Kali. So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then Kalir Dosha Nidhe Raja Asti Heko Mahaguna Kirtanadi Vakrishnasya Muktisanga Param. So this is Kali Yuga. That's somewhere 11th canto, 12th canto. Okay, verse 25. Raptani jatim tihaye tijantuva gana kriya dravya kalapa sampitam navayate ranapuna pavayate puya vanaukai vayanti bandhanam. Bhartavarsha offers the proper land and circumstances in which to execute devotional service, which can free one from the results of jnana and karma. If one obtains a human body in the land of Bhartavarsha with clear sensory organs, with which to execute the Sankirtan Yajna, but in spite of this opportunity he does not take to devotional service, he is certainly like liberated forest animals and birds that are careless and are therefore again bound by a hunter. So this verse is very interesting. So if you have the opportunity of human form of life and you have the opportunity of being born in Bharat Varsh, and you don't take to devotional service, you're like the free forest animals flying here and there. So who is the hunter?
Maya.
Who else?
Mind.
The mind. Mind is the hunter. Maya is the hunter. Who else is the hunter? There's one more hunter.
Kali.
Kali?
Death.
Death, yes. Yamaraj. Yamaraj will catch also. And again, you have to die again and again. So this is the hunter. So if we decide one day that to leave Krishna consciousness, then this will be our fate here. Liberated forest animals and birds that are careless. And again, bound by a hunter. So the purport explains some advantages of being born in Bharatavarsh. What are the advantages of being born in Bharatavarsha? You discussed it with Burijan. Oh, wow. Same verses.
The culture is here.
The culture is here.
The Dham is here.
The Dhams are here.
The people actually, just under the surface, they're a little Krishna conscious anyway.
People are Krishna conscious under the surface.
Also, Krishna takes birth here.
Krishna takes birth here. Lord Chaitanya, all the avatars. What are some... You missed one.
The Acharyas
take birth here. Yeah, okay, that's it. The pure devotees, yes?
They speak, the language is very similar. If they speak Hindi or if they speak Bengali, they can read Chaitanya Charitamrita, they can hear the songs and immediately understand.
Right. Yes, if you know Bengali, if you're born in Bengal, then you know all the songs, you can understand. And there is a similarity between Sanskrit, Hindi, and Bengali. You can see, if you know a little of the local language, you can also pick up a little of the Sanskrit. You can understand. So these are all facilities of being born in Bharatvarsh.
Of course, we say Bharatvarsh, we really refer, like you said, to the whole world.
The whole world, yes.
One devotee was giving class on Jamastri, and Kundadat was explaining in Estonian. Even the girls there are called Radha.
Yes, even the girls are called Radha in Estonia. And I thought also Mahanidhi Maharaj's thing was very nice. And it explains how, of course, here in the purport it says you have the opportunity to visit holy places, you have the opportunity to do devotional service, maranam, vandanam, achanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam, and you have the opportunity to meet pure devotees. And previously this was only in India, but because of Srila Prabhupada's mission, Srila Prabhupada's movement, now it's all over the world. We have these facilities all over the world to visit holy places, which are temples. Because Prabhupada visited them, they became holy places all over. And because the deity of Lord Krishna is there, holy places where the deities are. So you have these holy places all over the world. And then you have Atmanivedanam, Shavanam, Kirtanam. Maharaj, how many heard Mahanidhi Swami's offering? One, two, not so many. Yeah, some of you, yes. Oh, you did, okay. So just remember how he was comparing Prabhupada to Vyasadeva, the representative of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva, he had four disciples and he sent them in the four directions with the four Vedas. So Srila Prabhupada, he made the four BBTs in the four directions. And in Australia and America, North European BBT, India. And he made the temples all over the world. He's the disciples all over the world. That was what we had to do when we first joined, was learn how to go out and make a temple. You have to learn how to cook, you have to learn how to do kirtan, you have to learn everything so that you can just go out by yourself and start a temple. We were all trained like that. Within 6 months, we were ready to go out. After 6 months being devotee, you were ready to be kicked out of the door and go and start a temple. Book distribution. We didn't have book distribution, but we had Sankirtan. Only the holy name and BTGs is what we had in those days before I came to India. So this was the mood of Srila Prabhupada, to give facility. See, previously, Bharatvarsha was the whole world. And then it gradually it shrank down and shrank down and shrank down. So now Prabhupada, just like the six Goswamis, they excavated Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada, he excavated Bharatvarsha all over the whole world. So now we see how there are temples everywhere. There are holy places everywhere. There are pure devotees everywhere. And everyone can get the advantage of association with devotees that even people in India have also. So verse 26. And we discover that not only in India there are devotees, there are devotees all over the world who are ready to take up this Krishna consciousness. There are devotees everywhere, all over the whole big Bharatvarsha. There's also devotees. Just like in India, there's some who are just ready to be devotees. All over the world, there are people like that. And so this is a wonderful thing. Verse 26. In India, Bharatvarsha, there are many worshippers of the demigods, the various officials appointed by the Supreme Lord, such as Indra, Chandra, and Surya, all of whom are worshipped differently. The worshippers offer the demigods their oblations, considering the demigods part and parcel of the whole, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts these offerings and gradually raises the worshippers to the real standard of devotional service by fulfilling their desires and aspirations. Because the Lord is complete, he offers the worshippers the benedictions they desire, even if they worship only part of his transcendental body. So part of Krishna's body, the different demigods are the parts. So if you worship Indra, you're worshipping Krishna's arm. But Krishna is pleased even if you worship his arm. So here's a verse which shows the benefits of demigod worship. But of course you have to have the right consciousness. So why What is the problem if someone says, okay, it's no problem, I'm worshipping Ganesh, he's part of the Lord's body, so it's just as good as Krishna. Yes?
Maybe God's here to fill human desires who can destroy us.
Yes, they will give you something that may destroy you in the future. Just like Lord Shiva gave to Rikishura, something that was self-destructive. So that's one reason why it's not good. What's another reason? Right.
Perpetuates desires.
So you get your material desires fulfilled, and then more desires come. It creates desires. Every time you satisfy a material desire, then you create more desires to be fulfilled. Or you satisfy one, and you create 3, 4, 10, 100 more desires. The more you get your desires fulfilled, and the more you get. Now, if you worship Krishna, then it's different. You get purified. So that's why we worship Krishna. Even if you have material desires, it's good to worship Krishna. And this is what the next verse is all about. Verse 27. Satyam tishatya titamattito ninam naivatato yat punaratita yata sayam hitate vajatam anichatam ichapitanam nichaparapalavam. Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives, but he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. And that is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. So purport in the middle of paragraph 1, the Lord is so kind even to a sakam bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes an akama bhakta. So what is the way? How can the Lord satisfy your desire in such a way you become akama? What is an example? Or how is this possible? How does this happen? You have experience, Madhavendra Puri? So I'll just repeat that the nature of our desires will change. If you compare yourself when you first joined and you compare yourself now, you see how your desires have changed. Because Krishna in the heart, he's purifying.
Yes,
he changed our desires.
Whereas demigods won't do that.
Demigods won't do. They'll just say, okay, you want this, I give you this.
Krishna,
business. So Krishna, he gives us something, but at the same time, he purifies us. So we don't want that anymore. We want something higher. Yes, Nishinya Devi.
He takes away, he steals all our attachments and things.
He steals our attachments and things from us. So we're forced to give up. Did anybody have that experience in Vrindavan where you're forced to give up attachments? Vrindavan's a very good place to experience this particular thing. You're forced to give up your attachment to keeping warm or keeping cold. Keeping cool or keeping warm. This is one attachment. If you're attached to the nice weather, or you're attached to your health, very difficult to keep in Vrindavan. Very difficult. So it's better just to voluntarily do austerities than try to enjoy in Vrindavan. Yes. Prashanta. Yes. When we experience Krishna, then we get some, when we surrender to Krishna, we get some nice experience. And actually, it's amazing that when Krishna takes everything away from you, then you become more aware of how he's taking care of you. Just like I was speaking to one devotee, and her daughter recently, she was in an accident, car accident. She wasn't in the car, she was just walking on the street in Delhi. And a cow pushed her sister in front of the car, and she saved her sister, but then the cow pushed her and she got run over her leg. And her thing was that she's a dancer. So then it was a very difficult situation, and they took her to Apollo Hospital, but her mother, their family, they have no money, not a single rupee. But anyway, they went to this good hospital. The guy did the operation somehow within 2 hours in MVT. Vajrabihari went door to door and he got the money for the operation. And then they did it, and the guy messed up the operation, and the leg grew back crooked. And so then she went to another doctor, and they broke the leg and redid the operation. And so again, money, you know, they had no money for the first one. Now the second one, each one like 30,000, 40,000 rupees. And then besides that, this girl was living in Delhi, all her possessions were stolen from her apartment. Someone took her checkbook and took all her money out of the bank. So like, this is an example of Krishna taking everything away from you. So I was talking to the mother, and she said to me, you know, Krishna took everything, but now I'm realizing that he's actually there and he's taking care. Because even though everything was taken away, all the devotees responded and gave. And so they're actually being better taken care of than before the accident happened. And so anyway, but she says every day she says, I'm seeing how Krishna is taking care of us. And so it's when you're in a comfortable position, you don't realize it so easily. How Krishna's, you think, oh, I've got my money, I've got my place, I've got my intelligence, I've got this and that. But when you have nothing of yours to depend on, you have no money, you have no nothing, then you really realize, and you depend on Krishna. Then you say yes. She says, Krishna is proving himself to me, that he's actually there and he's taking care, just like he says. And so these experiences in life, these are how we see Bhagavatam in action, how we see the philosophy in action. We can say so many things, but when it comes to the test, then we will see actually where is our shelter. I think Bhajan Babu says this a lot. Where is our shelter? What do we take shelter of when Krishna takes everything away and there's nothing? Or even if you have a really bad day, like I had a really bad day yesterday too. Whoa, so many things were happening, one after the other, one after the other. So I just said, okay, that's it. I'm going to the deities and I'm going to put all my problems to them and ask them for the solution. And one after the other, I gave them all the problems and they gave me all the solutions. So it really works. So this is for us to practice. She had a second operation and she's still in Delhi, so she's coming on Friday. I'll talk to her. And the first one, she was having infection the whole time and in unbearable pain. And one time she took an overdose of the painkiller because she was in so much pain, and then she almost died from that. She was flat out in the bathroom, and she's only like 22 or 21 years old. Yeah, I think the second one went okay, and they did it properly. They did the first one, they made a mess. They didn't do it properly. So in the second, she went to another place. So anyway, but what she got out of it, this girl, she was not so serious before in her spiritual life, and she was not exactly following all the regulative principles, but now she's determined that she's going to dance for Krishna. That's going to be her life. So everything is going to be for Krishna, so now she has to be Krishna conscious. Chant, come to Vrindavan, and not just have a high life in Delhi. So anyway, but these things happen in our lives, and don't think that we will escape the test. The test will be there for us too. It's not just that it's going to happen to somebody else and we can just watch it happen. It's happening to us. So here, Dhruva Maharaj, for example, became a bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than that of his father. But finally, he became an akam bhakta and said to the Lord, Swamin kritatosmi varam nayache. My dear Lord, I'm very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Prabhupada says, sometimes it is found a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or some other sweetmeat. Devotees who aspire for material benedictions are compared to such children. The Lord is so kind, he takes away their material desires and gives them the highest benediction. Therefore, even for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must fully engage himself in devotional service of the Lord so that all his desires will be fulfilled and at the end he can go back home, back to Godhead. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Before I say this verse, which verse in Bhagavatam is exemplified by this purport? Akama savakarma mokshakama jarati tivrena bhakti yogena. So we'll read the next paragraph. Anyakami, a devotee, may desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Jari kore Krishna Pachan. But if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, Namagiteo Krishna Tare Den Swachan. Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. Krishna kahe, the Lord says, Ama bhaje, he is engaged in my service, Mage Vishashuk, but he wants the benefits of material sense gratification. Amritachari Vishamage, such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. E boromuk, that is his foolishness. Ami bhigya, but I am experienced. E murke vishai kene diva. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? Swachari namrita, it would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet. Vishai bhulaiva, I'll cause him to forget all material desires. Kamalaki Krishna bhaje, if one engages in service of the Lord for sense gratification, Hare Krishna rashe, result is he ultimately gets a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Kamachari da hoite hoya bilashe, he then gives up all material desires and wants to become eternal servant of the Lord. So this is the benefit from worshipping Krishna for material desires. You give up all your desires and you become servant of the Lord. Because Krishna can give us more than what anything we've ever gotten in this material world. Anything than any, more than any material satisfaction. So this is what this purport and this verse are all about. There's another verse, three verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 24, verses 102 to 104. 104 and then another verse. Sakam bhakta agyajani dayalu bhagavan swachandiya kare icharpitam. When merciful Lord Krishna understands that a foolish devotee desires material prosperity, he gratefully gives him the shelter of his lotus feet. In this way, the Lord covers the devotee's undesirable ambitions. So we have these desires, Krishna gives us his lotus feet instead, and we lose it. We lose our material desires. Sadhu Sangha Krishna Kripa Bhakti Shabha Etine Shachalai Kare Krishna Bha. Association with the devotee, mercy of Krishna, and the nature of devotional service help one to give up all undesirable association and gradually attain elevation to the platform of love of Godhead. Bhakti Pabhavshe Kamacharaya Krishna Pare Bhakti Koraya Gune Akashya. Devotional service is so strong. When one engages in it, he gradually gives up all material desires and becomes fully attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. All of this is brought about by attraction for the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So what should we do if we find ourselves faced with formidable material desires? Or any material desire, yeah. Association of devotees, that helps. Okay, association of devotees. If you have some material desire, because they can tell you what to do, how to become elevated from it. Anything else we can do? Yes? Just chant and eat, read. I said chant and eat. Chant and read, yes. Some people may chant and eat, but we chant and read. What, we hear the scriptures. Hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. That helps, huh? That helps a lot. Yes. The whole program. Prabhupada's program. Yes?
You have to ask yourself whether this is really going to be beneficial for Prabhupada's mission.
Whoa, that's very nice. So if you're faced with formidable material desire, you should ask him, is this going to be beneficial for Prabhupada's mission? Is this desire going to help Prabhupada's mission? Is this action, in fact, that can be for anything we do, any action we do, any decision we take? Yes, Prashanta. Deity worship, if you have material desires, yes. If you have, okay, Siddhivas. Serving the pure devotee. Being attached to the pure devotee. This is recommended by who? Serving the pure devotee, becoming attached to the pure devotee. Who? Kapila, yes. You lose your attachment for material by becoming attached to the devotee of the Lord. So these are all things that can help us when we're faced with formidable material desires. Verse 28. We are now living in the heavenly planets. These are the demigods speaking. Undoubtedly, as a result of our having performed ritualistic ceremonies, pious activities and yajnas, and having studied the Vedas. However, our lives here will one day be finished. We pray that at that time, if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in Bharatvarsha as human beings, able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind, He personally comes to the land of Bharatvarsha and expands the good fortune of its people. So if anybody once has a desire to become a demigod, you should know what is the desire of the demigods. You want to go there, but they want to come here. They all want to come here in Bharatvarsha. So what's the use of going there? Why should we go there? If we go there, then we'll want to come here. So better just try to take advantage of our very wonderful opportunity. This is in the purport, 6 lines down. Prabhupada makes a very interesting statement. In other words, to take birth in Bharatvarsha, one must perform more pious activities than the demigods. So isn't that amazing? To be here, it means we've done more pious activities than the demigods have done. They want to be in our position. They want to be a devotee, able to remember the lotus feet of Krishna. All the demigods. So Prabhupada says, it's more pious to be born in Bharatvarsha than to be a demigod. So we often think, wow, demigod, that's really something high. That's really something wonderful. But actually, there's something more wonderful than being a demigod. It's being right here, where you are right now, devotee, in disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's the most wonderful thing. So we should appreciate our birth. We should appreciate our opportunity and take advantage of it. Prabhupada says, in Bharatvarsha, one is naturally Krishna conscious, and if one further cultivates his Krishna consciousness by the grace of Krishna, he certainly expands his good fortune by becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness and very easily going back home to Godhead. In many other places in Vedic literature, it is found even the demigods want to come to this land of Bharatvarsha. I wish Adi Purush was here to tell us where else in the Vedic literature. Does anybody know anywhere else where this is said, that the demigods want to come here? Too bad he must be sick today. In other places in Vedic literature, besides Bhagavatam, a foolish person may desire to be promoted to the heavenly planets as a result of his pious activities, but even the demigods from heavenly planets want to come to Bharatvarsha and achieve bodies that may be very easily used to cultivate Krishna consciousness. So here's our theme song again. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeatedly says, and Srila Prabhupada repeatedly quotes it, so we get this verse in our mind. Bharta bhumite hoy no manushya janma jar janma sharta karikara parupakar. This is our mission. This is the purpose of our birth. We are born in Bharatvarsha, the whole greater Bharatvarsha. We must become perfect and help others. A human being born in the land of Bharatvarsha has a special prerogative to develop Krishna consciousness. Therefore, those already born in Bharatvarsha should take lessons from the Shastras and Guru, fully take advantage of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to be fully equipped with Krishna consciousness. By taking full advantage of Krishna consciousness, one goes back home, back to Godhead, yanti majjajino bhimam. The Krishna conscious movement is therefore spreading this facility to human society by opening many, many centers all over the world so people may associate with pure devotees of the Krishna conscious movement, understand the science of Krishna consciousness, and ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. So this is our purpose of our life, the purpose of our birth, the purpose of our every day is to become perfect and spread Krishna consciousness. As Lord Chaitanya, he's got a standing order for all of us that we must make ourselves perfect and spread Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada also, that was his standing order. So we have to fulfill their desire. Verse 29-30. Shishukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, in the opinion of some learned scholars, 8 smaller islands surround Jambudvip. When the sons of Maharaj Sagar were searching all over the world for their lost horse, They dug up the earth, and this way eight adjoining islands came into existence. Names of these islands are Svarnaprastha, Chandra Shukla, Avartana, Ramanaka, Mandaraharina, Panchajanya, Singhala, and Lanka. So one of the islands we know, Lanka. Does anybody know any of these other islands? Only Lanka. We know that Lanka is Sri Lanka. In the Karma Purana, there's a statement about desires of the demigods. Anati karino deva sargasa paradottavam vanshanti atmani vokshata moche karte chikarina. Although the demigods are situated in exalted positions in heavenly planets, they nevertheless desire to descend to the land of Bhartvarsh on the planet Earth. This indicates even the demigods are unfit to reside in Bhartvarsh. Oh, this is a really heavy statement now. First, we heard that we're more pious. It's more pious to be born here. Now it's said the demigods are unfit to reside in Bhartvarsh. Such a heavy statement. Therefore, if persons already born in Bhartvarsh live like cats and dogs, not taking full advantage of their birth in this land, they are certainly unfortunate. So again and again, the same idea. We have to take advantage. Verse 31, my dear King Pariksit, O best of the ascendants of Bharata Maharaj, I have thus described to you, as I myself have been instructed, the island of Bhartvarsh, its adjoining islands. These are the islands that constitute Jambudvip. And so we see how degraded that the Indians, they go to the west to forget Krishna, to forget their culture instead of to give their culture. And this is... I remember I was sitting in the bookstall in Juhu in Bombay, and one Indian man was saying, you know, what's the use of Bhagavad Gita? We need technology. I think we should just throw Bhagavad Gita in the ocean, because it's right by the ocean there. And so another devotee, he replied, why don't you throw your brains in the ocean? This is the idea. So they go there, they want to forget Krishna, they're so fortunate, they've had birth in India. So I have here a BTG article, I'm going to read an excerpt, some excerpts from it. This is written by a 16-year-old Indian boy who was, they left India and brought up in America. And he's writing in BTG, it was a typical Saturday night, and my parents had left for the evening. Like many 16-year-olds left home alone in America, I planned to do something forbidden. But unlike many 16-year-olds, my plans didn't include alcohol, cigarettes, girlfriends, or late-night parties. Instead, I chose to do something I couldn't do when my parents were home, put on tilak. So this is an Indian boy. I was born and raised in the U.S. by Indian immigrant parents from prominent Hindu families. Hindu, as well. About 6 years ago, my parents took me to an ISKCON temple where I met some devotees. Soon I started reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and I found what I had been searching for what seemed like lifetimes. Something that made sense in this crazy world. Gradually, my dormant Krishna consciousness began to reawaken. At first, my parents were happy I was embracing my Vedic roots. But as they realized that this was more than just a passing fling or hobby, as I saw I wanted to make Krishna the center of my life, their pride turned to nervousness. My chanting made them nervous. My insistence on prasadam made them nervous. And of course, my desire to wear Vaishnava tilak made them nervous. Why? I wish I knew, but I really don't. Perhaps they felt that my striving to be a devotee would be a slap in the face of the American dream of material success. Perhaps they felt they were losing their little boy to God and didn't want to let go. In any event, I grew to accept my situation. Pain of separation from the Vaishnava practices, however, was hard to bear. So then he goes on and describes all the glories of wearing tilak. So we all know that. But he gets really into it. We are aspiring devotees must declare war on Maya. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is our best weapon, and the tilak marks us as warriors. And he goes on and on. Some devotees, because of shyness or fear of ridicule, do not mark themselves as Vaishnavas. But I've seen that although startling to some, the mark of tilak evokes interest and even respect from others. So we should not feel shy or fearful to wear tilak. On this topic, Srila Prabhupada told the story of a Hindu man who wore tilak to work even after his Muslim employer had forbidden all workers to do so. Since this man was the only employee with the strength of conviction to defy the order, the Muslim employer decided to grant him alone the privilege of freely wearing tilak in the workplace. So then after this, gradually my parents have come to appreciate my desire to become a devotee. Now they allow him to wear tilak and dhoti and go to the temple. And then he says at the end, war against Maya is never easy, especially when she attacks in the form of nervous parents. Even though I'm unworthy, I have a request of all Vaishnavas, young and old alike. Please stay in your positions as servants of Srimati Rani. Please go on extolling the glories of Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. Please, whenever and wherever you can, wear your tilak in confidence. So then this boy is... Now, he was 17 when he wrote this article, Vinit Chanda, New York City. And he's the editor of Lotus Voices, the monthly newsletter of ISKCON New York Youth Forum. So this is what's going on. That they're trying to forget the culture. They go to the West, hopefully, to get the Western culture and forget their culture. Anyway, so this is an example of what extremes people go to forget their culture. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Madhundapuri. 26. So verse 26, how if you worship the part of the Lord, then the Lord is pleased. Okay, and your cross-reference?
Which is 576.
576.
Bharat is doing that, in that good consciousness, which is the...
Bharat Maharaj is worshipping, yes. Surya.
He's worshipping Krishna, but...
Krishna as Surya.
Yes. And in 576...
576.
That he was when he was... Actually, this is
So when he was offering to the demigods, he was understanding that this is for Krishna. Oh yes, that was his ritualistic sacrifices. Before the Surya, that was in maybe verse 7, like verse 7 or so.
576.
576, yeah.
So he was considering Indra as the arm of Krishna.
Indra is the arm and is the eyes.
So he was in proper...
So he was worshipping the demigods. This is how to worship the demigods properly, as Bharat Maharaj did. And his sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Shanya? Okay, so her question is, a birth in Bharat Varsh is better than being born in heavenly planets. Does that apply to everyone, like the animals, like the birds, like the degraded people? Prashanta? It's in the verse. The dog on the bank of the Ganga is more fortunate than a rich man who doesn't know Krishna. Actually, in one of these verses we read today, it says, let us be born as a living entity remembering the lotus feet of Krishna, as a human being remembering. One of these verses I read today. Let's see. Anyway, can find that verse. Yes, it's verse 28. We pray that if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in Bharat Varsh as human beings able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. So it would seem that as a devotee is what they're talking about, not as an ordinary person. Human birth. Yeah, human birth means...
He has to first feel alive.
They're praying as human beings, it says, first of all. They want to be a human being, and a human being is somebody, is an elevated position in this age of Kali. Yeah, Manusha. Manusha Janma. And human life starts from Varnashram. Below Varnashram, there's no human life, human being. I didn't understand your question, your comment. Animals? Oh, you're asking if it's favorable to be born as a dog in India? Than the heavenly planets? 84 lakhs. Well, there's three types that come to human birth. The lion, the monkey, and the cow. Only three animal forms can, next life they become human beings, those three. But actually, specifically in the verse it says human beings, so that question is answered there. It's human being. Yeah. That's, yeah, well, with devotees, there's no, they don't follow the rules. You don't follow the rules. It's the law. Otherwise, if you're not a devotee, you go through the law of evolution. But if you're a devotee, then it's different. Like you go, if you make an offense in the Dham as a devotee, then next life, you can be monkey and hog and whatever and go back to Godhead. The Prabhupada said, these animals in Vrindavan, it's their last birth and they're going to go back to Godhead in their next life. They were all devotees who made some offense while living in the Dham, and now they have these tortoise or all these bodies, and they will simply become purified and go back to Godhead. They don't make any offense in the monkeys. We might think the monkeys make offenses, but they don't. They're just following their nature, so they can't make offense. So that, in that way, they get purified without making offense. Before, it's really difficult if you're making offense all the time. How can you get elevated? If you're always making offenses, living in the Dham, and how can you be elevated? So therefore, they get punishment one life, where they can't commit any offense, just get the purification of living in the Dham, in the dust. The hogs are always in the dust of Vrindavan. The dogs are always in the dust of Vrindavan. So they're getting purified, because Vrindavan is pure. Just living in Vrindavan is very purifying. You get elevated just living in Vrindavan. And my son is very happy to say that sleeping in Vrindavan is like offering obeisances anywhere. So it's, by the more I sleep, the more I offer obeisances. Yes, Madhavan Puri. And then Abhay after that.
We could discuss about this amendment on the schedule.
Amendment of the schedule. Amendment on the schedule. Yeah, what I forgot about it. What is the amendment on the schedule?
So we would like to share with all of you, we discussed about the amendments on the schedule. Perhaps you can look at the schedule now?
Oh, maybe we should, wait, let's finish Bhagavatam first, and then we'll get to that. First, let's finish a discussion. Yes, Abhay?
Verse 29, explain about another 8 islands.
8 islands, verse 29.
Around Jambudvip.
Around Jambudvip. Yeah, that was my question. The first one we recognize is Lanka, which is south on the southernmost tip of India. And I was asking if anyone recognized any of these other islands. I don't recognize any of them. Singhala sounds like something we should know.
Singhala. Something in Thailand, something like that.
Acha. Indonesia. We're just speculating, though, so we don't know. Ramanaka. Ramanaka sounds familiar for some reason. Who was living there? Kalia? Yeah, that's what I thought. Kalia was living at Ramanaka, wherever that is. Fiji? Oh, it's Fiji. Okay, so here we got one. Ramanaka. Ramanaka is Fiji.
It's way far from here.
Yeah, well, they must have been digging in a very big area. Yeah. And Lanka is also far away too. Yes. Fiji is really far.
One day plane.
Yes. But this is Jambudvip, and Jambudvip is big. This is Jambudvip we're talking about. So Jambudvip is huge. So Bhardwaj is just one little bit of Jambudvip, so it's quite possible.
Fiji. Incorporate all the islands in the Pacific because the water levels could change.
Right. So this was quite a long time ago when Maharaj Sagar. How many years ago, Madhavendapuri? You know how many years ago Maharaj Sagar was, the sons were digging? How long ago was that? Millions, billions.
He's the one who got delivered by receiving the ashes.
Yes, yes.
Ashuman.
Yeah, it's when the Ganga first came down. So that must have been ages ago.
Nice.
Ages and ages. So therefore, who knows if these islands are still here now? Could have been covered. Abhay, was that your question about the islands? Okay, who else has something on the Bhagavatam? Yes? Okay, Prabhupada said that the people in Bhargavash are more pious and must have performed more pious activities. Okay, it's because of bhakti sukriti, which is higher than punya. So the to become a demigod. Okay, here's an explanation of why people in Bhargavash are more pious than demigods. Because there's three kinds of sukriti. There's one which is bhakti sukriti. So those born in Bhargavash have bhakti sukriti. Those who are demigods have punya sukriti. Means pious activities. And the third one is mukti. Yeah, muk.
Bhakti and
muk. Karma and muk sukriti and moksha and muk. Three kinds. So where are the people who have the moksha one? Huh? Yeah, that's my question. In Brahman. No, but they must still be in the material world. Maybe Brahmaloka. The Gyanis. Yeah, they're in the four higher planets. Mahar, Janatapa, Satya. And the other, not in those islands, no. That's Jambadvipa.
The demigods are Karma and Mukhi Sukriti?
Karma and Mukhi, yes. The demigods are Karma and Mukhi Sukriti. But they are devotees also. They've got some bhakti, but I guess it's more bhakti to be here in as human being. Yeah, Navadvipa is here. Right. Yeah, so Lord Chaitanya doesn't appear there. He appears here. And Navadvipa, Bengal, Mayapur is the best place in the universe, Srila Prabhupada says. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. This is. Yeah, this is where the door out of the prison is, right here. Bhargavash. So they don't have the door.
This proves the point that she's saying you cannot go back to go out from heaven.
No. There is a gradual process, but
To
Goloka. There's a gradual process that you go up to Brahmaloka and then when he dies you can go. That I'm not sure. No? It says the nectar of devotion? What does it say? No. Okay. Bhakti Charamarash. Bhargavash, okay. According to Bhakti Charamarash. Swarga, you can go to Vaikuntha. Okay. According to Bhakti Charamarash. Okay. He's saying you can go to Vaikuntha from Brahmaloka. Bhakti Charamarash says, I don't know that point. I said you can go, it's a gradual, I was saying a different point. That from here it's very quick. You can immediately go back to Godhead, but if you want to go through the demigods, and finally you gradually go up to Brahmaloka, then you have to wait until Brahma dies, and then you go with Lord. You're liberated with Lord Brahma. Right now he's 50 years old, so if you want to wait, how many trillion years?
One
prabhata. Some trillion years. 150 trillion years, if you want to wait, you can go with Lord Brahma, go up the gradual process, but you may not make it. Better just to do it now, chanting Hare Krishna and holding on to Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada, he says he has the key to the back door of Goloka. So I think we all have to go in the back door because we're not qualified to go in the front door. Yeah, if you take the chance to go up, you may come down.
To procrastinate, by the time you wake up, ISKCON is over.
Yes, ISKCON is over in 10,000 years, so don't go up.
In other words, the trick of going to...
You have to wait for the next Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
Once in a day of Brahma, is it?
No.
Once in a day of Brahma.
Sure.
Lord Chaitanya comes, so you have to wait for Brahma's next day. Now we've got... Haribo. Okay. Lila Shuka. Bhadrash is the field of activities.
I was wondering, so demigods, they have a lot of pious credits.
Demigods have a lot of pious credits. So when they come here, they can build up some more pious credits.
But my question is, if the demigod makes an offense, is there any reaction?
While he's a demigod up there,
yeah.
If he makes an offense. Are his pious credits diminished? Actually, we're going to hear all about that in the sixth canto. When Lord Indra makes an offense to his guru, when he kills one of his gurus, when he kills a Brahmin, Indra is going to, what's that? Daksha also will make an offense. He's considered a demigod. So I think that question will be answered. What happens? It does appear that you do get reactions. You do get consequences for your actions, even if you're a demigod. They have their own system of checks and balances there. They curse each other or else something happens. Very eager to take birth, yes.
So, I think consequent in our movement.
The demigods are very eager to take birth in our movement. We've heard that they're lining up. Artistically inclined.
And we see so many devotees
who are artists. And musicians, Gandharvas. Yes. My godbrother Vishnuja Maharaj, Prabhupada loved his singing so much that he said, when you sing, I'm in Vaikuntha. Yes, there are musicians or artists. It seems like they're coming down to take birth. Yes.
But in the Tamara, he's playing one of his books. It's called Transforming Lust.
Transforming Lust into
Love
from Bhakti Chitta Maharaj.
They say that the souls transform.
Some souls contact living entities living on earth.
Because they want to take birth on earth.
Because they want to take birth on earth.
And they contact here.
They contact gifted living entities living here.
Well, quite spiritual because...
That's why
spiritual leaders
have to be very careful.
Because they may be contacted by souls who are yearning to take birth here.
Because they may be contacted by souls yearning to take birth. And what if they're sannyasis?
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to. So
you're coming to that.
So
okay.
Then it was that request of those souls.
So they cannot fulfill the request.
So
yes.
Disciples,
right. So your point is actually very good. Not only leaders, but all of us have to
yeah.
be careful.
Like for instance,
of attraction to certain living entities that understand.
You may be married to someone, another lady.
Right.
So it creates a big pandemonium.
Yes.
So he's saying as a spiritual leader...
Interesting point here. That could explain why there's so many broken marriages in ISKCON.
And
don't think that Krishna is telling you, okay, now you have to have a child.
Yeah, so in other words, we have to delegate that to...
You can delegate it to someone else. And I recommend you delegate it to someone else. Yes, you can always recommend another couple. It was funny, I had somebody, we made somebody a devotee, this one man anyway. My husband and I, we made him a devotee. And he was dreaming that he was going to be born in his next life as our child. And then he got really upset when we got separated. Then he thought, oh my God, no, it's not going to happen. And then, you know, old age and all that, so it didn't work out that way. Is that, but it happens. I mean, it's happened to me
yeah.
too. They say, we want to take, you know, I want to take birth, my next life, from you. They may even come and tell you. Yes, Prabhu. Eight islands, okay. Have you done some research?
I've studied the structure of the universe.
Oh, great. We have an authority.
I'm not much of an authority.
Right, we don't see Mount Sumeru.
Really
yeah.
So similarly,
for sure.
Because these eight islands are surrounding Jambudvipa.
Surrounding Jambudvipa, okay.
Therefore, some of them may not be present before our eyes.
Yes, okay, that's a good point. They're surrounding Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa, that was my point, it's huge. Jambudvipa is huge. So if we see one or two, we're lucky. We see. Yeah, it's just the bottom of it. It's just the bottom of Jambudvip. So, what can we expect to see of the whole Jambudvip, which is a huge island? Yes.
When
Hiranyaksha dragged the earth to the ocean.
Then
Varaha came.
Varaha came.
He picked it up, so it's
he picked it up.
It was a ball shape.
Ball shape.
Planet which fell down. So Varaha has his.
He had his tusks.
Yeah, so he put it on surface. And,
Buloka? But it says Bugoloka also, that Bu, it's, I mean, it's flat, but it's also three-dimensional. He, according to the commentaries, I think it will come in the next, in this chapter 20, or I think in chapter 20, there was one commentary in the, let's see which verse, I don't know if it's this chapter. Oh yeah, 37 maybe. 37. Oh, here it is. It's in 38. So here it is about Bhuloka. There's this huge thing in Sanskrit here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in verse 38 of chapter 20. So this was translated by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu in the book of your Guru Maharaj, Dhanavir Goswami. And the he gave an explanation of this, where what this all says here is accurate astronomical information about location of Lokaloka mountain and all these things. So it's described that the Bhuloka, sometimes it's called Bhugoloka, that it's also like roundish, it's like three-dimensional. So it's supposed to go like the whole diameter of the universe, but actually there's a space. There is a little space. Actually, he picked up the whole Bhu Mandala, not simply the earth. He picked up the whole Bhu Mandala, and there is a little space left over, about 17 lakhs yojanas around the Bhu Loka. So this space was left over for two reasons, and one of the reasons was so that Varaha could lift it up. So he had this little space. Otherwise, if it went all the way to the coverings of the universe, how could he lift it up? So that was one reason. The other reason is so that the Dikpalas could hold it also in a certain way. So our conception of Bhu, I mean, we can't see it. So we just have to accept what it says in Bhagavatam. And in different places, I mean, it's not exactly, just like our earth is not exactly flat. But so Bhu Mandal is also not exactly flat, yes. Yes, yes. To us, I mean, to our senses it appears flat, but if you see the whole picture, then it's like a lotus petal. And actually the Hobu Mandala, I have a picture here, it's like a lotus. It's a huge lotus. And in the center, there's Mount Meru. So he picked up the Hobu Mandala, actually, Varaha. Not simply... I mean, and Bhu Mandala, sometimes it refers to the earth, Bhumi, or Bhu. And sometimes it refers to the Hobu Mandala. Yeah.
Sometimes we get...
the earth on his tusk.
Those drawings may have been done before I fully understand it.
Before the fifth canto came out, it was third canto. And so, but Prabhupada, he accepted those drawings, so it can also be simultaneously true, and this can also be true. Bhumandala is true, and the earth is true. So, and it is described that Bhumi Devi is the wife of Varaha. She's the wife, so. Of course, it could be different millenniums, different kalpas, the answer to all questions, or it can be both, the earth and Bhu Mandala. Earth is included in Bhu Mandala. So we have to see it with transcendental senses. But we just have to accept the statements and with faith, and one day we'll understand. We'll be there when Varaha lifts the earth. And we'll see for ourselves exactly how it happens. Does anybody have any other question or comment on the schedule? Okay, I mean Bhagavatam first. We still got time. Okay, Bhagavatam. Tomorrow we're going to have a big class. This is what you're going to hear about this afternoon. Bhu Mandala, the island, seven islands and oceans. Here's a picture. And there's also a chart. Could you just lift this first one off, and then they can see what's in store for you this afternoon? And then after that, we'll discuss the schedule. Just the whole thing. Yeah, and we'll see the next one. The next one is the islands and oceans of Bhu Mandala. And you have the Dweep, and what the Dweep is named after, the worship, and the ocean that's there. Palakshadweep, Indian fig tree, sun, sugarcane, Shamali. So these are all the different islands and oceans. And this afternoon you will be exploring all these islands and oceans of Jambudweep. And tomorrow after hearing about, Bhumandala, not Jambudweep. After hearing about Bhumandala, tomorrow we're going to go up into the sky, hear about all the planets, especially the sun planet, and then the higher planets, and then we'll go all the way actually to the end, and we'll hear about how the yogis, how they go out, and different things like that tomorrow. So tomorrow will be actually an important class on the structure of the universe. Everybody should try to come with attention, because we'll cover quite a few things tomorrow. And the two questions for the exam on the two chapters tomorrow are not in your thing, but it'll be in class, something we discuss. So it's good if you come. Yeah, you have another question? The rivers. So his question is, are these oceans the source of the rivers that are flowing of juice? And or the rivers are the source of these oceans? Does it sound logical?
Like we have ocean in our planet. Many rivers, they fill.
Many rivers, yes. If that's the case, then how come the rivers have no salt and the ocean has salt?
It doesn't correspond. It's four trees.
So the trees, they have juice, and the oceans have different things like sugarcane, liquor, and ghee. So how can it correspond?
And I just wanted to know
where does the milk come from?
Yeah, from the cows.
Because it's a part of the universal form of the Lord.
Doesn't get sour,
no. It's got preservatives.
You have a fridge,
natural. There's no hot and there's no cold. Just like if you go to Manali, where my ex-husband has been going, he says it's very similar to the heavenly planets in one sense. There's no dust. You don't perspire. You know. So it's cool. You know, it's good. It's perfect climate for keeping milk. We keep it in the fridge, but there you don't have, you know, it's just the climate is right for ghee, for milk, for yogurt, for liquor. So they have it. It's not the source, obviously. Otherwise, you'd have an ocean of mango juice. And that's where the mango juice is coming from, the mango tree. And jambu juice is coming from the jambu tree. And so it's not the source. It's some other, the source is Krishna. It's the universal form of the Lord. And we're going to discuss a little bit about that tomorrow, your question. It's a little bit about that. That how the universal form is there, and it's the body of the external body of the Lord, and then we have our bodies. So whatever we see in our bodies is also there in the big body. So all of these, yogurt, sweet water, actually, all of these things is described from which Purana? I can't remember. Anyway, I have it written down tomorrow. I think Skanda Purana? No, not Skanda Purana. Garuda Purana. There's this description of how our body corresponds to the universal form, and the blood, the different things in our body correspond to these seven oceans, how they correspond to our body. I read the whole Garuda Purana to find this one little quote. So anyway, you'll get it tomorrow. So stay tuned.